Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Last fall, the Biden administration announced substantial federal grants to create a series of hydrogen hubs, with the goal of having these hubs deliver nearly a third of the 2030 U.S. production target for this fuel. One hub funded is the Mid-Atlantic Clean Hydrogen Hub, or MACH 2. It is receiving up to $750 million to bring together various government and business interests in Delaware, Southeast Pennsylvania, and South Jersey to create a hub with the promise of creating jobs while combating climate change. The U.S. Department of Energy and MACH 2 officials are holding listening sessions to discuss their plans for this hub and get public feedback, including a virtual session earlier this month. Contributor John Hurdle checked out that session, and in his latest piece at DelawarePublic.org, he takes a closer look at the arguments for and against the hub that are developing. So let's start with a quick recap. What is MACH 2 trying to do, and who's involved in trying to make it happen?
Well, MACH 2 is part of a national network of seven regional centers to produce, store, transport, and consume hydrogen. And the idea is that it would be a clean fuel for users such as long-haul trucking or transit buses, other industrial uses that are seen as being hard to decarbonize. That's the big picture on these hubs. Locally, the MACH 2 hub consists of 19 partners in Delaware, South Jersey, and Southeast Pennsylvania. Those partners include corporations, government agencies, academic departments such as University of Delaware, First State Hydrogen, PBF Energy, and the plan is that they're going to begin construction next year, and then be fully operational by the end of the decade. And the federal government is providing up to $750 million in seed money for this, which will be greatly exceeded by private investment. That's the big picture.
So it is a massive project. And as it starts to move along, John, there is plenty of discussion about pros and cons associated with it. I want to start by focusing on one that seems to have been at the forefront, and that is what kind of hydrogen this project intends to produce. And they're separated into three categories: green, pink, and blue. Can you explain what they are and why this distinction is important?
Well, the fundamental fact here, Tom, is that there's in order to obtain the hydrogen, the operators have to split water into hydrogen and oxygen and through a process called electrolysis. And in order to do that, they need power to use the electrolyzers. And the difference in these different so-called colors of hydrogen are based on where that power comes from. So in the case of green hydrogen, that's power from renewables such as wind and solar. Pink hydrogen is that comes from nuclear power. And then so-called blue hydrogen is power from, in general, fossil fuels, but specifically from natural gas. And that is, in the view of its critics, highly problematic because it perpetuates the production and use of natural gas, which is a potent greenhouse gas emission, and the critics are saying, well, we're trying to find ways of driving down greenhouse gas emissions here, and yet we're continuing to burn natural gas. What's wrong with this picture?
So the goal would be to lean more into green and pink production. What kind of hydrogen is MACH 2 committed to produce?
Well, MACH 2 is committed to producing exactly those two kinds of hydrogen, green and pink. About three quarters of the hydrogen produced by MACH 2 would come from green sources, and most of the rest would come from nuclear, and specifically from the Salem plant in South Jersey. And a couple of percent will be coming from gases produced by a wastewater plant in Philadelphia.
But the type of hydrogen produced isn't the only environmental issue that's being raised with this project. What other possible environmental pitfalls do some of the critics see?
What I've been hearing from some environmentalists is that hydrogen actually prolongs the heat-trapping properties of methane, which is a highly potent greenhouse gas over the course of about 20 years. And in fact, according to those arguments, the use of hydrogen may even worsen global warming. And one of the problems with hydrogen, they say, is that it's a very small molecule. Therefore, it is very prone to leakage. So that's a possible problem right there. Another objection we were hearing last week, there was a listening session on the Mark II project that was held by the U.S. Department of Energy. And one of the speakers at that event, a lady from Georgetown, was worried about a possibility of water contamination as a result of water being used for this electrolysis process that we discussed before. And she was worried that given that many homes in the Georgetown area depend on private wells which are sunk into aquifers, she was worried that the water after being used in electrolysis might be pumped back into the ground in some contaminated form. So there was that concern as well.
What do Mach 2 officials say in response to some of these environmental issues that are being raised?
They, of course, they deny very categorically that Mach 2 will be using any kind of fossil fuels for their power. And in fact, one of the first speakers during the listening session last week, he said that in his view, there was a lot of public misunderstanding out there, which apparently has been put about by some environmental groups, that the Mark II hub would, at least to begin with, produce some of its hydrogen using fossil fuels. Well, he says that's absolutely untrue, and I've also heard that from Colin O'Mara, who is the chairman of Mark II, former Denrec secretary, of course, and now a candidate for governor. And he said that using no fossil fuels was one of his conditions for taking on the chairmanship of this hub.
One site in Delaware is expected to play a key role is the Delaware City Refinery. And perhaps that's where some people start to think about fossil fuels and this project being connected. But what would the Delaware City Refinery be doing as part of this project, and what are some of the perceived benefits of it being involved?
Well, PBF, the owner of the Delaware City Refinery, plans to build an electrolyzer on that site. And one of the other speakers at the listening session was the leader of the USW local at the refinery, and he's all in favor of the idea. He said that there's been a big decline in the local refinery capacity over the last decade or so. And this has had a bad effect on jobs. So he said that setting up the electrolyzer at the refinery would help to generate jobs. It would increase local energy security, be a good economic factor.
On a larger scale, how else is Delaware expected to benefit from Mach 2 economically?
Well, Mark II overall is expected to generate 20,000 jobs, around about 6,000 of which would be permanent jobs. And so that'll be region wide. So Delaware would gain some portion of that.
But there are those who do question the business or economic benefits of this project. What are they saying about the potential of these hubs and perhaps where maybe they're not as promising as some of the supporters would suggest they are?
Well, yes, I spoke with an energy analyst at the University of Pennsylvania's Kleinman Center for Energy Policy. And his argument is that there's all this government money and a lot of apparent boosterism around hydrogen, but his view is that the government has not properly thought through how all of this hydrogen is going to be used. He said that the question is a lot more complicated than simply building the hydrogen hubs, that there needs to be a lot more thought in how this will be used. And the other potential pitfall here, in his view, is that even though there's this headline-grabbing $7 billion number that the federal government is putting up now, that will actually be dwarfed by the tax breaks that may be available to the industry going forward. And in fact, one an analysis is that this might cost the federal government hundreds of billions of dollars going forward, which of course is going to be a huge expense. And the question is whether this is going to be justified in terms of the environmental benefits that it may have.
Yeah, what is the return on that actual investment? What is the actual investment and what is the return on it? John, right now Mach 2 is doing community engagement to build support. You went to the one virtual session. What's next in this process? What is the kind of timeline for this project now to kind of, I guess, basically build the momentum it needs to get off the ground?
Well, Omar is telling me that he's hoping that the first construction is going to begin in the early 2025, and that the whole thing is going to be up and running later in the decade. This is obviously a huge enterprise, and so I guess those goals are necessarily a bit woolly at this stage. But that's the big picture. And the other thing to bear in mind in terms of the public consultation here is that the DOE actually added a listening session, which will take place online on May 15th. And this is because there were apparently way too many people who wanted to comment at the April 10th session. And so the DOE wanted to give folks another chance to have their say.
Thanks to contributor John Hurdle for his time this week. John's piece on the pros and cons of the proposed Mid-Atlantic Clean Hydrogen Hub plan is available at DelawarePublic.org. And stay with us. We examine the growing trend of taking a gap year before college. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.